Welcome to the FRSNU podcast with Reverend Rebecca. We're glad you're here. This week, Reverend Rebecca speaks on what in one way is perceived as trash can also be perceived as our spiritual treasure to thriving. Her sermon is titled, From Trash to Treasure. Have a listen.
We were in the process of blending our families after a remarriage. 4 children, 2 adults. Always one for the importance of rituals and wanting to find a way to commemorate this transition, I had lugged us all down to the local clay pen. This is a paint-your-own pottery studio in West Hartford, Connecticut. Once there, we created a masterpiece together. It was a large platter that had each of our handprints on it and our names painted underneath. Each hand from the smallest to the largest having been dipped in paint. We were all feeling pretty good. Even the children had forgiven me for my cajoling to get us all to do this. We were laughing as we walked up the steps to our home when the unthinkable happened. And you know what happened. The platter slipped out of one of our sets of hands onto the ground, shattering into many pieces. Everybody stopped. And after a moment of shock, my beloved partner turned around smiling and he said, Don't worry, it's okay. We're just gonna make a montage. And so 30 minutes later, we were all assembled at the kitchen counter, hands knee deep in mortar, creating art from the broken pieces. What might have been trash was turned into treasure. We have similar choices every day, including how we experience an event, what we see when we walk down the street or the beach, and the purpose that we assign to everything. We are indeed active participants in the co-creation of our world. Allow me to share a creation story with you. It's a takeoff from the biblical story, so don't let the word God get you off track or a familiar theme. Just listen. In the beginning, God created the earth, and he looked upon it in his cosmic loneliness. And God said, "Let us make living creatures out of mud, so the mud can see what we have done." And God created every living creature that now moveth, and one was human. Mud, as human alone, could speak. God leaned close to mud as human sat up, looked around, and spoke. Human blinked. "What is the purpose of all of this?" he asked politely. "Everything must have a purpose," God asked. "Certainly," said human. "Then I leave it to you to think of one for all of this," said God, and he went away. Kurt Vonnegut, Cat's Cradle. Creating purpose. It is a big and tremendous responsibility and opportunity. Now, before I go any further, I need to say that humans are not predisposed to do what I'm describing. Neuroscientists now document that we actually have what is called a negativity bias. I first learned of this in Rick Hansen's book, Buddha's Brain, The Practical Neuroscience of Happiness, Love, and Wisdom. The negativity bias, or negative effect, some call it, is the concept that humans are wired in our brain to focus on the negative. Thus, negative experiences leave a more lasting impression on us than positive experiences. And if you Google this concept, you will find articles in Psychology Today, medical journals, and Forbes magazine. Rick Hansen, in his book, however, highlights not only our negativity bias, he also writes about neuroplasticity and the fact that we can change these habits, even predispositions, if you will, that are in our brain. We can create new neural pathways. Most people are not born as treasure hunters. We're born to be defensive, protective, alert to danger. We are wired as human beings to survive. Spirituality asks us to also learn to thrive. We're wired to survive. Spirituality asks us to also learn to thrive. We can practice and create neural pathways that see beauty, that remember the pleasantries of life, and assign positive purpose to our experiences. It is both a spiritual practice and a learned habit. Rick Hansen writes, every time you take in the good, you build a little bit of neural pathway, neural structure. And doing this even just a few times a day for months, maybe even years, will gradually, literally change your brain and how you feel and act in far-reaching ways. Max and Lori offer us two wonderful examples of how we can make art from what others have discarded or labeled as trash. By which I mean something that has no value. Their stories are a reminder and an inspiration for us to pause, to look again and consider more closely the purpose of what we see. Are we able to see treasure trunk, as we heard described in Silverstein's Hector the Collector poem? Or are we part of the mass of silly, sightless people who came and looked and called it junk? Art is beautiful, and it is important in all of its forms. It is important visually, musically, as dance. It has the power to transform not only our perception of objects, it also has the power to change our inner landscape, mental and emotional. Margaret Fuller, one of the Unitarian female transcendentalists, wrote of this potential for art and music to transform, in this case, depression into hope, in a letter that she wrote to Beethoven 16 years after his death. And I quote, "My only friend, how shall I thank thee for once more breaking the chains of my sorrowful slumber? My heart beats. I live again." Music, art, the power to transform. Now, Fuller's transcendentalism and her views were so influential during the early and the mid-19th century that one critic had this to say of her. "No person has appeared among us whose conversation and morals have done more to corrupt the minds and hearts of our Boston community." For religion, she substitutes art. She would give us, for divinity, merely the beautiful. This practice of finding meaning and beauty and new purpose in trash, it extends too into other realms. I'm going to focus briefly on just two other ways this happens. And to begin, how can we ignore Earth? Recycling, repurposing, finding new and different uses for items, it is no longer a nice thing to do. It is a necessity if we are to respond to climate change. Students in schools in Newberry and Lynn, for which we lit our candles of peace this morning, are doing this using plastic bottles filled with plastic bags as blocks for building a shed. Our own climate action group has brought a policy before the board that would hold us accountable to environmentally sustainable practices as a church community. The seventh principle of Unitarian Universalism holds us in covenant to respect this interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. We must do our part if we are to be responsible, hopeful co-creators of this world. Right here in Newburyport, right here in this sanctuary, we live in the center of incredible beauty. And I'll be honest, when we moved here a year ago, I didn't really know how to do it. And here's what I meant by that. How does one not feel guilty? Or better to say, how can I not feel guilty? When I know that the vast majority of people do not live with such beauty surrounding them. What right did I have to drive home from church and pass the marsh and feel what stirred in my soul? When I know what other people have as their surroundings. Within miles, feet of this church is the ocean, tidal river, beaches, marsh, fields, and forest. How can we do anything other than engage in work for climate justice? That's the answer to my question, to myself. How do I live? How do I live and appreciate and take in this joy and beauty and allow it to restore in me what I need to go on day after day after day after day? I take it in, I use it for that purpose, and then we work to be the change this world needs. The marsh that is so beautifully described by Delia Owens, author of Where the Crawdads Sing, that's in the quote on the cover of the Order of Service, she writes, "Marsh is not swamp. Marsh is a space of light, where grass grows in water and water flows into the sky. Slow-moving creeks wander, carrying the orb of the sun with them to the sea, and long-legged birds lift with unexpected grace." Though she writes of a different marsh, it is our marsh too. The great marsh, the marsh that is teeming with life that can only be sustained there, in that unique ecosystem. Think too of the iconic pink house, the epitome of what some call trash, and others know is treasure. Our children next door right now are starting their own process of repurposing, finding and creating beauty in space that some see as otherwise. They've been meeting in the upper level of Parish Hall, and they are imagining what they can do with that space to make it their own. They don't see trash. They see possibility. Turning it into a treasure. And don't worry, that will not stop us from imagining and creating the wholeness of that space in its right time using environmentally sustainable building practices. And then, of course, the third part of how trash and treasure interrelate is, of course, our lives. Our lives. Though we are often victims of circumstances, we can still thrive with the right support and community and healing. Every one of us has events, circumstances, and conditions which are not pretty at first sight. And I am in no way suggesting that we deny the pain or stop fighting oppression or abuse. What I am saying is that there is hope. Transformation is possible. Beautiful things can come out of the worst of circumstances. It's not guaranteed. However, it is absolutely possible. As the lotus flower grows in mud, we too can emerge in all of our beautifulness, despite and even because of the trash that has been part of our lives. Spiritual teachers have long taught that our emotional and our spiritual wounds, they are the pathways to our true selves. Our emotional and spiritual wounds, when we go away from them, don't enter them, try to cut them off and deny them, we are cutting off the path to our true self. These are pathways that require fortitude, fellow travelers, patience, and love, a lot of love. The most spiritual people I know pain. They don't philosophically understand it. They have lived it and found a way through. So that mosaic I told you about at the start of my sermon, well, it's followed us throughout all the years. It is now happily situated in this shaded bed by the backside of our home. It's been beautiful creating our family. And that wasn't the last time that we've had to make art out of broken pieces. To find the treasure in what we easily could have called trash. I invite all of you, as you leave the sanctuary this morning, to stop at one of our four tables. There's one in the vestibule, two in the rear of the sanctuary, and one right here, where some folks have brought pieces of things that they have called trash in their lives, things that no longer have value for them. But guess what? They're a treasure for you. What piece of trash will you see as treasure? Take it home. Enjoy every minute of it. Use it. Relish it. Allow it to remind you of the purpose and the power of turning trash into treasure. And my friends, may we all make treasures rather than see trash. Therefore, turning our very lives into art, each as unique and beautiful as the next. Amen, and blessed be.
We hope you enjoyed this FRS in You podcast with Reverend Rebecca. To explore today's topic more deeply, consider the following questions. This week, recycle something instead of throwing it away by using it for something different than its original purpose. Where can you find beauty that you have never noticed before in nature? What has happened in your life that you thought at first was bad and later realized was a gift? We'll be posting more FRS in You podcasts with Reverend Rebecca on our website, frsuu.org, and on our Facebook page. We'd love to see you in person at our services every Sunday morning at 10:30 at the First Religious Society Unitarian Universalist, located at 26 Pleasant Street in Newburyport. Or you can reach out to me, Nicole Salemi, Director of Community Engagement. Email me at nicole.salemi, that's Salem with an I, S-A-L-E-M-I, at frsuu.org. It has been good to be together.